Welcome to the Golf Channel Podcast. I'm Rex Hoggard and joined by U.S. Ryder Cup Captain Jim Furyk. Thank you so much, Jim. And I want to point this out. You're on the Callaway Learning Center, Experience Center. You're working on your game. Some people don't think that you play anymore. Some people think that you're just going to be a captain. So I just wanted to point it out.
Well, it's probably because I haven't played since last week was my first event since the RSM in November, which was my first event since maybe August at the Deutsche Bank. So usually take some time off in the fall and winter, and this time I needed to kind of both mentally and physically recharge. I played a lot of golf after my surgery last year, but I'm planning to have a full schedule this year, which is now about 18 to 20 events for me, and looking forward to both having two roles, being a full-time professional on the PGA Tour and also getting ready for the 2018 Ryder Cup in Paris.
I do want to ask you some Ryder Cup questions, but to get to your game, you were out the first 5 months of last season, like you said, with an injury.
Yep.
What was the worst thing you did over that 5, 6, 7 months, and what was the best thing you did over that five?
What do you mean
six?
By the worst thing?
What was the thing that bothered you the most, day in and day out? Therapy, talking to the doctor,
I missed one major championship, so missing the Masters. That was the worst. And I went to the Masters, did a little work corporately. Was on the grounds, said hello to folks. That was tough. That was tough to be there, know you're qualified, but you can't play.
What was the best thing about having some time off?
Just being home. Just being home with the kids and Tab and, getting to watch them play ball, different events. My daughter plays volleyball. My son, a little baseball here and there. And being home, just being part of the normal routine and being dad. And, when you spend 3, 4, 5, 6 months at home and you're not working, and it's time to go back on the road, it's tough. You get a tear in your eye because I enjoy being around them so much.
Did go on to the Ryder Cup. One of the things that got brought up, and Paul McGinley said this a few years ago, talking about the secret book that they had that they passed down from captain to captain. I think it was more metaphorical than it was real. But it seems to me that's where the U.S. is right now.
Yeah, I think we probably got a little behind in that realm, and that they had a committee that got around and talked about how to improve each and every year. They had a lot of experience at their captaincies, and therefore, not that our captains did a great job, but they had probably a little bit more symmetry in how the team was run year in, year out. And I think that's what we were trying to do as a task force, then as a committee, and then following in the Davis Love shoes, just trying to provide a great experience for the players that they could succeed in, which all captains do, again, but doing it more similar year in and year out and kind of building a foundation.
What would be the most important thing you think you learned at Hazeltine that you can take to Paris?
The most important thing? There was a lot of lessons. There's a lot of lessons from the interaction with the players, from interaction with the media, from being able to tag along a lot with Davis throughout the year. And I think I learned a lot from each and every vice captain as well. I learned a lot from Bubba Watson, Tiger Woods, Steve Stricker, Tom Lehman. Every one of those guys brought a different talent and a different style to the game. And so I think because we're a diverse group, we brought a lot to the table and we're able to help out Davis quite a bit.
Of the 9 Ryder Cup captains that you played for, who do you think you're going to be most like? Your captaincy, your style?
You have to be yourself. You can't. I admire each and every one of them for what they did and how much work they put into it, and I thought they were all very successful in their own right and very, very good. But what I learned from each and every one of them is if I go into that team room with the rah-rah and trying to pump everyone up and smack them on the rear end as they go out, they're going to look at me like I'm out of my mind because that's not my personality. So I think I'm not going to try to emulate anyone, but I really got to see it's not an unfair question, but the answer will be unfair, and that the one that I'm probably most like is Davis, but he's got a quiet personality. We're similar in a lot of ways, and I got to tag along. I got to see him do it from a captain's perspective rather than a player's perspective. But I enjoyed being a player in a lot of those, and enjoyed a lot of private moments with each captain, the way they handled their team, and I learned from each and every one of those. I have something special, probably a little, a little tidbit in my pocket from each captain that I'll try to put in play.
One of the things that Davis said, and again, your personalities are the same, that he did not like the most about the Ryder Cup was giving the speeches, not being the rah-rah guy. That's not his personality,
right?
But you still have to give speeches. What is one of the things that maybe you're looking at and you're thinking it might be a challenge to you?
You know, I want to make sure that prep-wise I'm ready for any situation, up, down, indifferent. The speeches are definitely hard. I mean, you want to be motivational, you want to be, but it's got to be sincere, it's got to be honest, it's got to come from the heart, and you can't overdo it as well. I mean, these guys are professionals. They get ready each and every week, and they're highly successful at what they do. I'm not sure there's that much. You know, it's about providing an atmosphere. I think hardest for me. Did Davis tell you that before he went in or after he came out?
He said it both before and after.
Gotcha.
He said it was hard for him. And the picks, obviously. I mean, that's one thing the captains always point out.
Yeah. I mean, making the phone call to someone that you haven't chosen is obviously a bad thing to have to do, and it's equally as rewarding and fun to probably call the guy and tell him, hey, you're on the team, and listen to the reaction on the other side. So I've been on both ends of that phone call on the other side receiving it, and I respect the captains who had to make those calls. So I'm not sure. How about we revisit this in about 2 years and I can tell you what the most difficult spot is, because I think there's a handful of things that are very challenging. I hope they're not difficult, and I hope we get through them just fine. But it's a challenge. It's a big task and a big job. And as I said, my goal is to be really just highly prepared. You know, be ready for any situation that may hit, and that way you never feel like you're going to have to make some decisions on the fly and have to, you know, wing it at times probably. But as little as that as possible would be my choice.
You mentioned earlier today that you want to take a scouting trip to Paris to see the golf course.
Absolutely.
You said around the Open Championship time. Along those same lines, Fluff has been with you so long.
Yep.
He understands the golf course. What's going to be his role in scouting the golf course and getting
you under? I'm not sure there'll be as much as scouting. He's a guy I have out of the bag now for 18 years. I mean, I trust in him. I confide in him. I think he reads me very well as far as my personality and wants and needs. And I would, you know, already talked to Fluff about being over there. You know, Davis had Jeff over there as, you know, his confidant. He had Drew driving him around. It's a different scenario with your son. But Mike will be in charge of kind of taking care of the caddies and organization, and he'll have some folks from the PGA of America there to help him with the technical side of things, you know, with all the texts and emails and just trying to organize everybody as a group. As a captain, you have to definitely, you want really good people to surround you. And I've got a lot of tools. I've got the Ryder Cup committee with both the PGA of America and the players. I'll have four to five vice captains there with me that I thoroughly trust in and I know can do a great job. Fluff will be there. Tabitha's obviously, you know, I consider her part of myself. It's Team 1A. I'll trust in my father. I'll trust in Bob Rotella a little bit from the messaging side. And, you know, it's a big group. And so delegating authority and letting these guys do what they're very good at will be, you know, everyone kind of has a defined role and let them help out as much as they can.
I think last week Pebble Beach was your first start of the year, if I'm not mistaken. And you said it was almost like the first day of school.
Yeah, I say that every year. I like to throw it out. It is, you know, everyone's happy. You make a couple double bogey on the first day and you kind of laugh it off and move on. It's not as easy. Not as easy in August.
September.
Yeah.
Along those same lines, were you treated differently because you now have the title, U.S. Ryder Cup captain?
Well, I think it was the first time I was out, and we announced the points system. We announced the timing of the captain's pick. So, of course, I think everyone was the first.
A little bit more popular, maybe?
Well, it's my job to get to know some of these guys I don't that have the potential and the ability to make the team. And there's a few young guys out there that I don't know very well that I would like to get to know. There's going to be some guys that maybe aren't on anyone's radar right now. They're going to be close to making the team in points or making the team in points next year. So I have a real good relationship, I think, with a lot of the players that have played on these teams year in and year out, and they know what to expect from me because they've played alongside me for so long. But I know some of the young players as well, the Jordan Spieth, the Ricky Fowlers, guys that haven't made the team yet, like a Justin Thomas, I consider friends, and I know them well, and I'll lean on them to meet some of the young guys I don't know as well. And if I happen to see him on the range, in the locker room, I think I need to be a little bit more outgoing. I feel like I'm an outgoing person. I feel like I'm friendly. I'm usually not overly talkative, and I probably have to make an effort to be a little bit more so these next 2 years.
I'll let you get back to practice, but one last question. You mentioned the young players. If Phil doesn't make the team, and if you don't make the team, it seems like it's a new generation. And kind of the next wave is coming in of all these young players. Are you viewing it that way?
Yeah, but I still think we're still going to have some grizzled veterans. I mean, you look at guys that have played on a bunch of Ryder Cup teams, and I'm going to forget folks right off the bat, but, the Matt Kuchars and the Zach Johnsons and you go down the list.
Dustin to a certain degree.
Dustin now. Johnson. Jordan is going to be stepping up as, he's a leader right now. Guys look up to him because it's not only good on the course, he's good off the course. So, there's going to be a changing of the guard, whether it's, whether or not Phil makes the team, we're still, we're still going to have some young players that are going to step up and now take a leadership role. And I look forward to that because the teams are, you want a team that has some young guys on it. It's a great energy. It's a young vibe. It's excitement. But you also want some veterans there to let them know what to expect and to show them the way. I look at their side, Rory McIlroy and Thomas Peters. Thomas was with us here at Cal earlier today, and they were a formidable bunch. Rory's the fist pumping, yelling at the crowd, having fun. And Thomas is usually very quiet, and together they made a great, great pairing. Rory brought Thomas with him a little bit, and Thomas got excited and fist pumping, but they went undefeated. They won 3 matches together, and Thomas won his singles match. So you want those types of pairings, and you need a little youth sometimes to kind of boost the veterans.
Thank you so much for your time, Jim.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm.